Well, I call your attention this morning to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4 is where we will be today. I want to preach on one word, hospitality. Hospitality. A lot of words come from that root word that we get hospitality. We get hospital. We get hospice. But the positive word in my mind is hospitality. I don't want to go to a hospital unless I just have to. Don't want to go to a hospice unless I just have to. But hospitality can be a good thing. It is something that you find throughout the Bible. I'll reference several of those places this morning. It's something that was very, very popular in ancient times. One of the things that I noticed in our advanced society is nobody wants to be around anybody much anymore. Some of the loneliest people that there are people that live in cities of 2 and 3 and 5 and 10 million people. They just go to work. They come home, they eat a TV dinner, and watch TV for a little while and go to bed and then start it over again in the morning. It reminds me of the old hamsters on the wheels. It's just turning and turning and turning and you're never getting anywhere. But when you throw hospitality into the mix, then all of a sudden, life can be an adventure. It can be a great blessing. And so that's what I want us to think about today. Now, in those ancient times, and again, the Bible was written in ancient times. The book of Peter, probably written somewhere in the 60s AD. So, not quite 2,000 years ago. Hospitality was a big deal back then. Now, they did not have Hampton Inns and Holiday Inn Expresses. I don't know how long that advertisement about, well, I don't know about this, but I do know that I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. That's a commercial that we see, and I know that it was as far back as the early 2000s. But when you think about a hospitable group of people, Christians were always to be that. It was something that was carried over from the Old Testament. It was something that was considered to be extremely important by that early church and by those Old Testament prophets. When you think about hospitality, you can think about these prophets and how that when they would preach and they would write, they would have certain people that they would be thinking about that would be in their minds. I'll give you those groups in a moment. There's some key words that you find in this verse. Look at verse 9. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Use. That means I expect you to act with this. Hospitality. I'm going to give you what the biblical definition of hospitality is in a moment. Use hospitality one to another. So who is he writing? He is writing to Christian people. He is writing to a group of people that have a common belief, and that commonality, that common denominator, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he says, use hospitality one to another, he's talking about those churches to whom he is writing. That means that if we are going to make application for our church today, that we are to be hospitable to each other in the church family. Whenever we get into what the definition of hospitality is and the ways that happens, I think that you can see that there are certain segments of our church that do a pretty good job with that. I want us to even do better. But it is one of those words that you don't really hear a lot of messages on. I can only think of maybe two or three times in my life that I have ever heard a message on hospitality, but yet it was an integral part of that early church. It was something that they learned early, probably from their Jewish roots, but it was something that Jesus himself brought over and he instituted in the Gospels for the Christians that would come after. And so there are some key passages. We see that it's hospitality one to another without grudging. I'll say more about the without grudging a little bit later. I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Now, I mentioned that those Old Testament prophets would preach, and they were really, they were like five groups. They were all vulnerable groups. And there were about five groups that they were always focusing on and how that you are not to take advantage of these people, but you're to go out of your way to help these people. And those five groups, and I'll mention this again in a moment, but you have the poor, you have the sick, you have widows and orphans. I put those two together. You have the stranger or the foreigner. And then finally, what you have is you have the prisoner, all right? The prisoners. Look with me at the Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and I want you to look with me beginning at verse 35. Now, if you've got a Bible like mine, you see that your letters are in red. That means Jesus is speaking these words. Now, a red letter edition doesn't mean that the red letters are more inspired than the black letters. It just simply means this is the words that Jesus spoke. Every word of God is inspired, whether they be black, red, yellow, green, chartreuse, or whatever. So you have Jesus, though, that is speaking this, and he says, "For I was and hungered. I was hungry, and you gave me meat or food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me, and I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And what does he say in verse 40? "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." I talked about the poor, I talked about the sick, I talked about the widows, I talked about the orphans, talked about the foreigner or the stranger, and I talked about the prisoner. Those things. Can you not see all of those in the words of Jesus? Can you not see the person that didn't have enough money to buy any type of food to eat? Can you not see someone that did not have the capability of being able to go and get a drink of water? Can you not see someone that was a stranger or a foreigner that was maybe traveling, and they were down on their luck, their finances had gone, perhaps they had been robbed like the Great Samaritan story, how that man was laying there, and a Samaritan stopped and helped him, showed him hospitality. What about when it talked about that I was sick and you visited me, or I was in prison and you came to me. Can you not see all of those things that those prophets talked about? It's found in the law of hospitality, it's found in the law of Moses. If you were to go, we won't go to it, but if you're taking notes and you write this down, Exodus 22 and verse number 21, it's in the law of Moses. And Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 28 and 29, it talks about hospitality, how you're supposed to treat people. And so we find this, that it's everywhere in the scriptures. Now, by way of introduction, I want you to think with me about three things. Number one, I want you to think about this is a good work that all can do. Now, everybody in here, I want you to sing in the choir. And some of you go, you've never heard me sing. And if I heard you sing, I may say, I agree. I don't need to sing in the choir. I like to sing, you know, but the old story goes that when I sing in the shower, the water shuts off. But I want everybody to sing in the choir. Everybody cannot do that. I mean, if I were to sing like this trio, I love this trio. If I were to try to sing like that with people behind me lined up, we wouldn't be called Tommy Foskey Singers. We'd be called Ned Nostril and the Snort Sisters. That's what we'd be called. I just couldn't pull it off. But let me tell you what I can do. I can be hospitable. Every single person here can do this. And can I tell you that it's a good work? The Bible, like I said, is replete with all types of verses that tell us to do good. Do this, do that. When I do something for someone, it brings me really to my second point here. It gives me a warmth that I have in my soul. When we're children, we don't understand this. These teenagers probably don't understand this. But when you get to be an old man, you'll understand this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It does something for your heart. It does something for your soul when you can do something for someone that brings a smile to their face. When you are willing to show a kindness and it makes a difference in that life. Years ago, I used to like to read a series of books called Chicken Soup for the Soul. I see a few people nodding their heads. There was a story, and I don't know why I remember this, but I do. There was a story of a lady that was a school teacher. And she had a little boy that was a handful. His mother had died. His father was always working, and so the little guy was always basically by himself. His name was Teddy Stoddard. And if you've ever read this story, I don't know how you could forget it. But this little guy was in this lady's class, and she knew that he was rambunctious, but she went out of her way to love that little man. She would keep him after school and help him with his homework. She would teach him to do various things. And when he even moved up into the next grades, he remembered her kindness and how that she would always help him with things, that she would always be there in her classroom, and then he would come by to see her because of the kindness that she had done. Finally, because of the encouragement that that teacher gave, when he graduated from high school, he gave her the first invitation, said, I want you to come to my graduation. She went. He doted on her, oh, I thank you for coming. And they probably even went out to eat. He didn't really have a whole lot of other people. Like I said, his dad was really not in his life a whole lot. The mom was gone. She had passed on. He went to college. He graduated from college, and who was the first person? That teacher. And I wish I could remember her name, but I can't. But Teddy got her to come to his high school graduation, got her to come to his college graduation, and when he got married, he wanted her to sit in the place of his mother in the wedding. And it was all because of the kindness of a school teacher. I heard this one time. There was a conversation about, well, what do you do? And one person said, well, I'm a banker. Somebody else said, I'm a lawyer. And then finally, this one lady, she said, I'm a teacher. And someone said, well, what do you mean? What do you do being a teacher? She said, I make a difference. When you show a kindness to somebody, you can make a difference in the way that their life turns out. Did you know that Joseph Stalin was raised in church? But he never had anybody that showed him a kindness, and finally he turned his back on all of it and he butchered about 40 million of his own people. Lee Harvey Oswald went to a church as a teenager, and he was not accepted by the people of that church. He turned to communism, spent a little time in the Soviet Union, and he is the one that is always in history books considered to be the assassin of John F. Kennedy. Now, whether he was by himself or not, that's not for this sermon today. But his life could have been totally different had the people in that church shown a kindness to him instead of rebuffing him. And so you've got the warmth that is created when we do hospitable things to others. The last thing is, there's great wealth that's uncovered by this action. You say, well, what do you mean by that? What I mean is that friendships are born. I've known of people that were kind to someone, and the next thing you know, they begin to gee and haw with each other, and they became lifelong friends because the kindness that one of them showed, and then the other person reciprocated. And they became great friends, much like Teddy Stoddard and his teacher. And so there is an honoring of the Lord. If we are what we should be, we're doing all to the glory of God. And that means the way that when we have guests walk into this church, that means the way that I treat them. And if I treat them godly, kindly, show hospitality to them, then I'm giving glory to God. Whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so we see that. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of the message some definitions. What is a stranger? If you go back to our text, go back to 1 Peter 4, and it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. There are people that are in this church, and you absolutely do not know the people that are in this section. And the people in this section don't know who's in that section. And the people in this section, they don't know either section. If you don't know somebody, you ought to speak to them. You ought to shake hands. You ought to give them the right hand of Christian fellowship. You ought to let them know you're glad they're worshiping with you. But what about somebody that's not a church member? A stranger. Did you know that that's what hospitality, it means? I think that I've got this on the next slide. The biblical definition of hospitality is to welcome, to be friendly to strangers. That's it. You can search the internet, you can find all types of definitions, but they almost always come back to what I have written right here, just to welcome, to be friendly to strangers, the people you don't know. Now, I know we teach our kids danger, danger, stranger, all right? And that's good. I don't want my grandbabies, being picked up and hugged and all of that unless I know the folks. If somebody, just a random guy, picked him up, my first thought was, I hope he don't run because I may not can catch him. But I'm wanting to be very, very careful about that. But when I meet someone, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I want them to know I am glad that I have met them. Whether it's at a church setting, or whether it's at a restaurant setting, or whether it's at a grocery store setting, wherever it happens to be, I take that as that God has allowed these people to come into my life. And God allows people to come into your life, and you get a chance to say a good word about the Lord. My neighbor that's behind me to the right moved. There is a new neighbor, a man and his wife, and they have moved in. They've been there for about 2 weeks. Yesterday, Deb and I, we went to Clinton, Elizabeth's favorite place, Great Harvest. We got us a sandwich, and we got 2 loaves of bread. One of them we got is a cinnamon bread. That'll make your tongue slap your brains out. That's some good stuff. We got that, and I took that yesterday afternoon when I saw them walking around the back of their house. I walked through the gate that I put on when I put the fence up years ago. I walked through the gate with a little bag in my hand, and I welcomed them to the community, and I talked to them about who they were. I wanted them to know who I was, that I was a pastor, that I wanted the Lord in that conversation, and I wanted to show a kindness to them. Why? Because, not because I'm a preacher, it's because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's a good thing. And so, what is a stranger? What was those Old Testament 5? Well, it really 6, but 2 of them are together. The poor, the sick, widows and orphans, foreigners, prisoners. All 5 of those are the strangers. One of the missionaries that I'm excited about that we took on last September. Well, he was here in September, and we took him on toward the end of the year. In January, I think we began to support for him. We have a missionary, and his name is Justin Wilson, just like the Cajun cook on television. Used to be on PBS, all right? Justin Wilson, he's with Rock of Ages Ministry, and what is he doing? He goes to the prisons in the southeastern part of the United States. For years, we had 2 men, sometimes 3, that would go to the Gwinnett County Jail in Lawrenceville, and they would go and they would preach to those men every week. Those were prisoners that needed the gospel. Do you know what the number one religious group that is going into prisons today is? Muslims. Islam is rampant in prisons. And you and I, we ought to be thinking, Jesus can forgive them. And maybe once they do their time, or they get out on maybe an early release or a parole, and they see the goodness of God and how that God saves them if they will come to Him, and their lives can be changed, then what does that make God? The God of the second chance. Can I tell you that we all sometimes need a second chance? You and I, we ought to make sure that we are hospitable to everybody that we meet. One of the things that these teenagers ought to work on, every time there is a guest that comes into that youth group, you ought to take it upon yourself to say, I will befriend that boy. I will befriend that girl. I will be friends and I will be kind to them. If you're not kind to kids that come to a youth group, you're not right with God. I want you to understand that. Parents, grandparents, if you're not kind to those kids that are trying to get to know yours, you got a problem. Jesus says that if you have done it unto the least of these, then you've done it unto him. You know, I didn't read it, but if we were to go back, and we won't do it because of time, but if we were to go back to Matthew chapter 25, I read you the positive part. Verse 40 closes the positive part out. If you have fed and given a drink, and you have clothed, and you have visited, and you have saw them in prison, you've done it unto Jesus. But verse 41 starts out, if you did not, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and there is a judgment on those that do not do that. And when you read that, you see the pros and you see the cons. And I'm going to tell you, I want to be on the positive side. I don't want to be on the negative side. And so that's a stranger. What is welcoming? We are to welcome and be friendly to strangers. Now, the stranger there, it could be a foreigner. I'll say more about that in a second. There's a preacher that made some statements a few days ago that I have real problems with. They probably will allude to it in a moment. But there are four things when you read all of the passages. You can read in the Old Testament, you can read in the New Testament, and you can see how that hospitality is a big deal in the East. All right? Middle East, Far East, that's a big deal. So, number one, there needs to be a greeting. Now, well, you know what we do? We go, how you doing today? Well, that's a greeting, but that's just superficial. A greeting is when they come to you. That means that when somebody walks in the doors of this church, what do? We immediately introduce ourselves. We have a smile on our face. We're not looking at them and say, what you doing here? Years ago, we had a family that joined this church. It was the Blissett family. Jim and Nell Blissett. When they came down, this was Jackie Tanner's mom and daddy. When they came down, Miss Nell was in the front. And I said, yes, ma'am, why are you coming today? Well, I'd like to join the church. I said, well, wonderful. Have a seat right here. Then her husband stepped up and I said, and why are you coming? And he said, well, I'm going to join with her. And I said, okay, sit down. Well, Jackie comes to me about a week later and she said, you know, you really hurt my dad's feelings. And I said, well, Jackie, I don't even really know your dad. I said, how did I hurt his feelings? She said, well, when you spoke to my mother, you said, well, we're glad to have you. We'll welcome you. Just have a seat right here. And then you looked at him and he heard you say, and what are you coming for? And I said, I would not hurt your dad for anything in the world. And so immediately I went, and sitting back about where Brother Bruce is at, it's where Brother Blissett was at. And I said, Brother Jim, I need to apologize to you. I said, when you and Miss Nell joined the church, I said, I was just as thrilled to have you as I was to have her. And I said, please forgive me if my tone was not what it needed to be. And he said, oh, preacher said, don't worry about that. And do you know that until the day he died, he was a really good friend of mine. He liked to upholster furniture and refinish furniture. And I had a couple of Queen Anne chairs that had been given to me, and I had stuck those things in my office. They were beat up. The support spindles needed to be re-glued. And he took those things, he stripped them down, he put new padding in it, put new covers on it, he had new stain on it. And I'm telling you, I had some good-looking chairs. And when we moved from Stone Mountain here, I was not going to bring those. And Miss Hicks goes, hey, can I have them chairs? And I said, sure. But it all began with a bad note because of some tone that I had. And what are you coming for? We got to be careful about that. We need to make sure that we are kind even in our speech. And so there's a greeting. But can I tell you that there's an example of that in the Old Testament? We won't go to it again because of time, but I'll tell you the story. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham is sitting at his tent door. It's probably hot. And he's sitting there sipping on some iced tea. And all of a sudden he looks out and he sees three men that are coming. And he's thinking, whoo, okay, I got some guests I can talk to. I guess him and Sarah had talked out. And so these three men come up, and what does he do? He immediately shows that he is humbled and he's glad they're there. He bows before them. And he begins to show hospitality. What does he do? He says, hey, I need you servants. I need you to go and I need you to begin to fix a nice meal here. Let's get them something to drink. Let's wash their feet. Let's make sure that they are being blessed while they're in my tent. And that's something that we ought to always want to do when we invite people into our home. We should want them to enjoy the time that they are in our house. When you get through that story and he has helped them in comfort, you find out that one of those men is what is called a theophany. Some people use the term a Christophany. And that is an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. You do know Jesus didn't start in Bethlehem. Jesus has been around as long as the Father and the Spirit have been around. They always self-existed. They never had a beginning. You say, don't blow my mind. Just take my word for it until we can talk about it logically later. Don't have time for that now. If I run that rabbit, I'll forget where I'm at. It was a Christophany, but the other two were angels. You got three men that turn out to be the Lord Jesus pre-incarnate and two of his angels, and they are in the form of men. Abraham passed the test. He was hospitable because it was the right thing to do. Well, what about when we go to them? When you go and see somebody, you should go with this in mind. I'm not going to tick them off. I'm going to try to encourage them. You find that all through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, what did they do? They went house to house. They were teaching people. They were fellowshipping with them. They were having meals with them. They would even have communion with each other. And it's no wonder that early church turned that early world upside down, or the new world upside down. So there is a greeting. Number two, there is a restoration. In Matthew 25 again, I've alluded to it twice already, but in Matthew 25, what you've got is you've got poor people, you've got sick people, you've got the widows and orphans, you've got the strangers, the prisoners. All of these people are in a vulnerable class. Most of the time, we don't give a second thought to a homeless guy that's sitting on the side of the road somewhere. Now, I know the stories. I've heard of people that have followed people from their street corner where they go every day. And at the end of the day, they go and they get in a BMW or a Mercedes. I've heard those stories. And I've even had people say, I know that this is accurate. If you want to know if they're accurate or not, it says, I will work for food. Offer them work. If I truly am skeptical, you sure you want something to do? It was funny. Yesterday, my son came over, and he was moving some pecan shells around for his mama. He wanted to know where the tractor key was. So I told him, I was on the phone. And so when we got in, he was moving those pecan shells around, and he had had a young man working with him. And he was shoveling and putting those pecan shells. Now, pecan shells, that's not like carrying buckets of water. It's not like carrying buckets of cement. They're not heavy at all. But they would fill up a 5-gallon bucket, and this kid would take it, and he would throw it maybe up against the house or in a little, maybe a shallow area, and needed to be leveled out a little bit. And after about 3 hours of that, he looked at Dallas and he goes, "Did you grow up doing this kind of stuff?" He said, "I've never worked this hard a day in my life." Now, this kid's almost 16. And I'm thinking, that kid's had an injustice. But yeah, he'd been doing that. When he was 12 years old, I had him out there helping aerate yards and everything else. But that kid was not used to that. Now, he liked getting some money, but he wasn't used to that. But some people, they just, "I need money. I'll work for it. Come on." Now, if they come, great. Sometimes you go, "I was just testing," and you give them a gift or whatever. But the point I'm trying to make is this, that it ought to be given with the idea of restoration. Now, let me tell you what we do at the church. We have what is called a benevolence fund. That is where, when sometimes church members, they get in a bind. Sometimes people outside of the church get in a bind, and they will call, and we have two or three men that they go through, and they get questioned. After they've come for about two or three times and nothing has changed, the help's over, because you're still making the bad decisions. A year and a half ago, there was a lady that came by, and she said, "I've got to have $130. They're going to kick me out of my house if I don't have $130 by tonight." Well, nobody was here. Miss Pam was not here. She's the one that writes the checks and that type of thing. Brother Coggins, Brother Widmere, they're, and I think Brother Knight may be on the committee we call benevolence. So there was nobody to make a decision about church stuff. And so I thought, okay. I said, "I got $40 on me." She said, "Okay." So I gave her $40. Then she goes, "Do you Cash App?" "Yeah. Yeah, I do. I need $135. So I Cash Apped her $100. I'm talking about in 10 minutes, she got $140 from me. Later on, she sent me a text message a week or so later. "I need some more help." She got about 40 that time. Last week, I hadn't seen this lady in a year and a half now, but I got her name in my phone, and every time it rings, you know what I do? I ignore it. You know why? Because she's not wanting to get better. There's no restoration in her heart. If you keep doing the stupid things that you've done to get you in the mess that you're in, you're not learning. You're absolutely not learning. And so the idea of my hospitality and my kindness is so that you will learn your lessons. So you do what you do biblically because it's right, but you do it with the idea, I want to restore them so they can take care of themselves. I don't want the prisoner to go back to jail. I don't want the poor to always remain poor. I don't want a stranger that is coming here legally to be mistreated. Legally is the optimum word. I'm not big on illegal immigration. I'm not an NGO. You say, what is that? That is a non-governmental organization. There's all kind of groups. There's Catholic groups. There's Lutheran groups. There's Episcopal groups. There's Methodist groups. Probably even some Baptist groups. And what are they doing? They're non-government, but they're trying to feed at the trough of the taxpayer. What I'm saying is this. If they want to spend millions, cash some of those paintings in over at the Vatican. Not trying to meddle today. Just trying to give you a little truth. So there's a greeting. There's a restoration. Number three. There is a social networking. Where you bring others into your group, much like those teenagers that when they come in, they ought to be absorbed in and not shunned. Or a Sunday school class where that they ought to be pulled in instead of shunned. But it's bringing them into your group and you wanting them to be there. Now the Apostle Peter is a recipient of this action on many, many occasions in the Bible. When you read the first part of Acts, the primary character in the book of Acts, in the first, the first 12 to 13 chapters of Acts, is Peter. The last half of the book of Acts, it flips. It's no longer Peter, it's Paul. Now, Mary doesn't have any chapters. That's a joke. Peter, Paul, Mary. You guys just do not, you are not as carnal as I am. All right? I know you know it, and you just won't even laugh. You're like, I'm too spiritual for that. Acts chapter 10. Peter is going down to a place called Joppa. That's the same place that Jonah went. We have gone, it's called Jaffa now, but we have gone to Joppa. I've been there at least three times, if not four. We stood right there at that dock. Peter makes his way to Joppa. And who shows him hospitality? A man that kills and skins and tans animal hides. His name is Simon the Tanner. And Peter, he's there. And he is staying at a man's house. Like I said, there wasn't a Hampton Inn to go to. But Simon loved that apostle. And even though he was a Gentile, he said, hey, we're both Christians. You come stay with me. And he did. Acts chapter 12. Peter's in jail. And all of a sudden, miraculously, the doors open. What's the first place he goes to? He goes to the home of another Christian. This was a lady named Mary. Now, it's not Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's probably already died by now. But the Mary that he goes to is most likely Mary, the mother of John Mark, the one that wrote the Gospel of Mark. Why does he go there? Because in times past, when she met Christ, she began to open up her home for the other Christians so they could be blessed. So he's been to Simon's house and stayed there. Now he is at Mary's house. Well, what else? In Sunday school, we've been going through the book of Galatians. Peter was in the area that we call Galatia. Galatia is not a city, it is an area. And he is going from place to place, and every place that he goes to, what he's going to do is he is going to have someone that says, come home with us. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not real thrilled about that. I don't go a lot of places to preach. I've told the church before, I knew I was not going to run the roads when I got called to preach. I go places every once in a while, but not very often. And just the word's out, no sense in calling him, he won't come. All right? And so, Peter is going places, staying with those people. And they were showing him a kindness. Billy Kelly told this at our church. He said he was preaching up in the mountains, and he said, they put me in a room and told me, said, now, preacher, look, if you, you know, need something during the night, just, you know, just ease down the hallway and you know, you'll be able to find your way around. And he said, that night, he said, I got thirsty. And he said, so I kind of felt my way down the hallway to the kitchen. Wasn't no lights on. He said, I didn't want to turn the lights on and disturb the people. I opened the refrigerator, and the refrigerator light didn't even work. And he said, I'm feeling around, and finally I felt a cold glass. And he said, I took that glass and I tilted it up and said, man, that was some good water. He said, but I felt something hit my top lip. Said, so I set it back down in there, and he said, I went back to bed the next morning. Said, we're sitting there at the breakfast table, and the lady said, I could have swore I put water in my false teeth last night. And we laughed just like you did just then. But those people were showing Billy a hospitality. That is a big deal, like I said, in the Bible. Let me give you a fourth thing and we'll be done. You show hospitality to send them down the road. You don't show them a hospitality so that you take them to raise. Keep that in mind. There's an old Scottish proverb that says, when you have strangers that come, or even relatives that come, really, on the third day you hand them a shovel. You don't just get to lay up and, you know, not do anything, you know, while the people that own the place and have shown you the kindness, they're out there digging ditches and they're cutting grass, and you're in the house drinking iced tea and eating bonbons. No, you don't get to do that. They're showing you a kindness, but the intent is for you to get healed. It's for you to get rested. It's for you to get sent back out into the vineyard. We need to make sure that we are given to hospitality. We need to be a people that are willing to share, whether it be our time, whether it be our talent, whether it be our treasure. Hospitality is something that every single one of us can do. But it's not a lifelong thing for each individual. The idea is that it's time for them to be mature and to get back into the Lord's work on their own two feet. That's the idea of biblical hospitality. We all need help from time to time. But it's not a biblical welfare system. It's a sad thing to me when I see the roles of welfare in our country and in other Western countries. It's a sad thing for me when you see people that are on the government dole and their family has been for 3, 4, 5, 6 generations. That's a sad thing. The Christian church was never meant to be that way. It was meant to help people and help them often and help as many as you can. But it is teaching people to fish, not to give them a fish. That's what Christianity ought to be about. We ought to want to be a hospitable group. And anybody that comes in here, if they are not trying to harm us, we love them and we do good to them and we show a kindness to them. That's biblical hospitality. We treat everybody good, whether it's a teenager in the youth group or an old person in a Sunday school class. Whether it's somebody that we've never met at Vacation Bible School or somebody that we see every week, we show kindness to people. That is hospitality the Bible way.